The first item up is the report from the affiliates coordinator, the affiliates coordinator. Ursula, your last name just. Ursula Rudenberg.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Basically, the affiliates were told that they could call at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
And exactly. And I'm not saying that we should delay Ursula, but I think we should let the affiliates know that they'll be able to call if they're listening right now. They'll be able to
call in after she's done, because there was no notice that she would actually be speaking to the affiliates.
It's been in the agenda for since the beginning, but I take your point. We have a 10-minute report from Ursula. If she leaves time for questions, there'll be questions. After that, we're going to be listening to the comments from the affiliates who call in.
And there may just be emails that people have sent me, because some people said that they couldn't call in.
Okay, we'll sort of dance with what we get when it after this. And is it possible for John or Otis, is it possible for the people on the phone to hear what Ursula's saying? They will. Okay, great. So they're part of this conversation. Okay. Ursula?
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Ursula Rudenberg. I know most of you, not all of you. So I'm the affiliates coordinator, and I appreciate very much being here at the and being included in the meeting. It's been really great for me to speak with at least some of your board members I've had a chance to, and also to meet together with the staff. It's really a rare opportunity for us to get some work done. And I also wanted to thank Arlene, wherever she is, for really conducting a meeting with us on Thursday that was really with a very open-minded spirit and really allowed for free flow and very sincere discussion. I wanted to start out by trying to share a little bit of the spirit of the affiliates meeting that we had. We just came back from the National Federation of Community Broadcasters meeting in St. Paul's, Minnesota. And I think most of you know what that is. It's the primary professional association for community radio. And we always have a yearly affiliates meeting at the conference. And I was trying to think of how to share the spirit of that with you. And what I ended up thinking about was a comment that one of the staff members from our station in Tucson, Arizona, KXCI, she said to me, you know, I come to the affiliates meetings at the NFCB conference because this is where I find my people. The people who are affiliated with Pacifica, they are my people at this conference. And it's kind of a deceptively simple statement she made, but I think it really kind of sums up in an essence what the Pacifica Network is today. We really are that grassroots American broadcast network. We are those people. And at this point, we really are a national force with 150 stations involved in this enterprise. And I'm going to partially read, because I'm one of those people that can't keep time when I speak. This really, the fact that we really are now 150 people who really share this mission of grassroots media really makes us a cultural force in this country, and one that in this time of corporate encroachment is more relevant than ever. If we flex our muscle, we will have a role to play in the American scene. We are positioned to do that at this point. We all understand by now that we have entered into a more difficult and more dangerous world where all of us can go under. And especially small local business, small local organizations, we are all facing a threat. And this is a threat that is shared between us and our affiliates. This is not completely unique to Pacifica. This is a situation that everybody is sharing now. Community radio is facing a crisis of survival. It is what's at hand for us. And our fortune at this time is, I wanted to say that's what this hand, because it's really in my work what I see more and more is really the issue that is more and more floating to the surface as really the primary thing that is everybody is sharing by now in the most glaring way. Our fortune at a time like this is having a network of more than 150 stations due to the past 10 years of work that this network has done to build that. And this is an enormous asset that we now own. What do I mean by an asset? I mean an asset in the form of economy of scale that can be implemented. We collectively now own a significant market of listeners, and we also really are a pool of talent and resources that's quite significant. A good example of this is the way WMNF was recently able to help out PFW with a by lending them a translator. There are things that we can do to leverage this network, and I am looking for people who want to collaborate around this. I know that if we do, there's just a lot we can do. Economic, environmental, and social justice issues are coming to head in many ways. We all sense this. We see it in our own lives. People who believe in community and want to preserve community are looking for like-minded people. We all know that we have to find each other and start working together in ways that didn't exist before. We community radio stations, we are perfectly positioned to be ambassadors for our community. We know where our people are. We know where the issues are. We know where the resources are because we are populated by information junkies in our stations, right? I mean, our station's assets are not only the programs, they're the fact that they are filled with people who completely understand their communities. So every radio station at this point is an ambassador for its community radio zone and can contribute this to the national pool of people who are looking for non-corporate America. In this dynamic, there's just tremendous possibilities. The mission of the Pacifica Affiliates Program is to help build and sustain our network of our really the only natural network of grassroots radio stations. It is really structurally a very smart and very efficient and very fortunate enterprise that is built upon the pre-existing assets of Pacifica and incurs no extra cost to the network, but does supply basically what amounts to an outreach program at no cost. It provides national staff to Pacifica, which would be myself. And it also provides income. And I think Sean had a question about that. I think currently the balance of income is at about $224,000. So you would have to subtract my salary. So I would, at a very, very rough guess, I would say somewhere between $100,000 to $125,000 a year income. That's just a very rough guess. I don't know the books, but I hope you read my presentation in your packet. The numbers are there in terms of how many affiliates we have. I think it's 147 at this moment, and I think the collected fees is around 224 right now, with another outstanding 23,000 to bring in before the end of the fiscal year. So, in closing, I want to say that. I know that if we do begin to open our minds up and look for new solutions in new times, we will not only find a whole new level of abundance that is available to us to help sustain us and to sustain community radio, we will also really build and discover a whole new level of our Pacifica mission that will really be relevant to this moment in time that we live in. Thank you. I'm going to stop here and allow for time.
Do we have time for questions? What time is it?
It's now 12 past.
Oh, so we don't. Yeah, we have a caller. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll take the calls. How many calls are there? Oh, there's just one at a time. Okay, so let's say callers, please take 2 minutes, let's say. Or does that sound about right? 3 minutes. 3 minutes. We have altogether 20 minutes, so a little bit less. So take 3 minutes or less, please. And identify yourself when you first speak. Okay.
Hi, this is Teresa, and I'm a member of the Affiliate Task Force. I just want to thank Ursula for her work. I see notices all of the time on Grassroots Radio Conference list of people thanking her, and I'm following pretty closely efforts of organizations to start new stations, for example, the station in Peoria, Illinois, and they all are very grateful to Pacifica, and I'm so glad that that Ursula did the work to get a grant to actually help start stations, because I think that they need the opportunity to network. And I think that, you know, I guess the old adage is you either hang together or you hang separately. I also do want to remind the board that the Affiliate Task Force passed a resolution at its meeting on July the 8th that the Affiliate Task Force express its desire for the PNB to reconsider and rescind its decision of April 24, 2010 regarding restructuring of the Affiliate Task Force. That passed 6 yes, 2 no, and 2 abstentions. So, and if you have any questions about that, I would be happy to weigh in. I do guess I want to say one thing about that. I am very disappointed that the affiliate, that the Pacifica National Board passed a resolution to restructure the Affiliate Task Force when one of the affiliate directors could, you know, gave the PNB advance notice that he could not be at that meeting. And I tried to call in and could not call in at that time, so I appreciate you having this, you know, the willingness to let me talk, let me speak at this time. But I'm hoping that you will rescind that, and we have actually plans for moving forward to actually, I think, come up with a better means to restructure the Affiliate Task Force, one that utilizes more people on the task force that have some experience. And we actually attempted to do this last summer and last fall that you can listen to if you go to kpftx.org. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have someone else on the line?
So I have to hang up?
You have to hang up, Teresa.
All right. Thanks for your time. I'll be listening to your response to my comments.
Okay. And I guess it'll take some time. So in
do
the
you
meantime,
want me to read the one from Mark Sophos that came in this
That's
afternoon?
A good idea.
Could I, as a point of order.
Yes.
Excuse me. I would call to attention the fact that this is not a personnel matter, but an organizational one. And the primary issue is the resolution and the restructuring of the task force, number one. And number two, that the comments be limited, otherwise they're irrelevant and should be personnel matters, as I understand it, are handled in executive session.
I'm going to deny that point of order. This is the comments had nothing to do with personnel matters, as far as I could tell. They were had to do with procedural issues on the board and support for Ursula and comments about that, which seems to me to be.
And we also just asked for any comments from.
That's
affiliates.
Right. So this was an opportunity for the affiliates to say what they had to say. So, would you read the? Would you read? Yes.
Not only was that caller not an affiliate, but the people who voted for the repeal were not affiliates, with the exception of Jim, and he and I were split evenly. The other four people not only are not affiliates, only one of them represented a radio station.
But they're all on the task force as voting members.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Please, this was an opportunity. This was an opportunity for people to call in and comment about this, and that's what we're going to have. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, so this is from Mark Sophos, and he sent this about 2 hours ago, and he's from WDFH, which is just outside of New York City. Jim, I'm not going to be able to call in, but I wonder if you or someone else might read the following on our behalf. WDFH has been dealing with the financial situation that has been threatening our existence for several years. For most of our existence, we had a very limited signal that very few people could hear, but in 2009, we expanded our coverage significantly. In April, we held a public meeting to begin to introduce WDFH to people in our expanded listening area. We're just outside of New York City, and Ursula volunteered to attend the meeting and talk with our guests. It ended up being a very long day, 3 p.m. until 2 a.m., but she spoke powerfully and eloquently about the importance of community radio and the role of Pacifica. Needless to say, she was a wonderful presence at the meeting. Ursula has been supportive of WDFH at every step along the way, and I feel that we should all consider ourselves lucky to have her. She's a calm voice at the other end of the phone, coupled with the can-do attitude that represents the best of the spirit of community radio. Thank you very much, Mark Sofos, founder, WDFH in New York.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else on the phone? Okay, great.
I have other statements to read.
From affiliates?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would add that these statements are entirely unsolicited. Unsolicited. And given the start date of the first one, and I'm passing copies of all of these statements, the start date, April 18, 2010, is the beginning of this discussion about restructuring or destructuring the Affiliates Task Force, done by David Beaton, former Affiliates representative, board representative. I think the idea to define, meaning the task force is, as indicated in the subject line, what is the task force, the Affiliates Task Force structure, role, and function, in preparation for the meeting of April 24th, the meeting at which the restructuring was considered and passed. But, I think the idea was to define task force's structure, role, and function to be discussed at the PMB meeting of the 24th better, to define it better, and give it more direction as Pacifica moves ahead with changes. It has always been a force for progress in Pacifica. The proposal is to actually give it teeth and to bring it into the PMB committee structure. I do not believe anyone is slapping anyone or dismantling anything. I do not believe this proposal is meant to offend anyone. Maybe the time is not right for changes. If not, when? After a retreat, maybe? David Beaton, Program Director, WSLR-LPM-FM. The next statement is regarding AudioPort. AudioPort completion and support for the archives. Ed Morales. I am writing the board for the first time today to ask that you commit funds to the automation and completion of AudioPort. Although we strongly support the legacy and mission of Pacifica, our relationship to the organization is largely a programmatic one. We pull several hours of programming each week from AudioPort and would be greatly benefited by being able to automate the downloading of the excellent programs we carry. In addition, I ask that the board continues to commit itself to being responsible custodians of the Pacifica Radio Archives. The recordings housed within the archives are irreplaceable and representative of many of the most critical crossroads on our country, our nation's history. And yet, the archives are far from complete, with only about 10% of the master tapes having been digitized. The work of the archive staff is an essential community resource, as was confirmed this week in St. Paul when Brian DeShaza and the archives received the Lifetime Achievement Award. I offer my thanks for the difficult work the board continues to do on behalf of the Pacifica organization and all of its affiliates. Ed Morales.
Do you have any more?
Yes, actually, I started to read one yesterday, but Diane Brown from Radio South asked me to share this with the PNB at this time.
Before we do, let me just say the number on the air to call in. What is it?
It is 71. Can we say it? Nope. It's for affiliates only. Yeah.
It's posted on the internet.
Okay. It's posted on the internet, so they it's several.
So it's okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so this is from Diane Brown, and this is what she says. She sent this out a few days ago, actually, and said if we could share it, she would love that. Progressives in the Florida Panhandle would like to share our very exciting news. The FCC approved our application for a new non-commercial community-based radio station in Port St. Joe. Port St. In Port St. Joe, Florida. This is an incredible event with so much promise for bringing progressive views to this very conservative area of the country. And we owe it all to Pacifica's Ursula Rudenberg, who put together the Radio South project that provided the outreach to our community and has been there for continued support throughout the process. Were it not for Ursula's leadership and continued assistance holding our hand all through the process, we would not have this great opportunity. Ursula has been incredible every step of the way with advice, encouragement, assistance as needed, and patience for the past 3 years. There could be no other community in greater need of the service we can provide under Ursula's tutelage. We have not just one, but two Rush Limbaugh types broadcasting in our area. People are starving for liberal views. Our station will make a huge difference in the political landscape. Our area is still very racist, but we will provide a voice and support for the African-American community. It is sad to say that local and state officials have been content to allow an African-American neighborhood to exist on land that was used as a dump site for hazardous chemicals. We will provide the necessary health information that officials have failed to do. We will provide forums to include political candidates that otherwise could not afford to compete with the chamber-backed campaigns of conservative anti-government Tea Party candidates. Our opportunities and our dreams are limitless. Ursula is truly our hero for making this happen for our community. Thank you very much, Ursula, and thanks to Pacifica Radio for leading the charge for progressive radio. Diane Brown in Laguna Beach, Florida.
No, that's not the next one. The next one is on the same subject, and this one is from David Beaton. It was written June 30th, 2010. This is a great day for community radio. Just got word that a group that I was working with when I was with Pacifica got a full power license. They will have to share with the local Knights of Columbus 50-50 because of equal points total. A 20,000-watt community radio in the panhandle of Florida. Port St. Joe. The Republican Riviera, even if only 12 hours a day, it's great. That makes two groups that I helped successfully file. Thanks to WMNF, WSLR-LP-FM, and Pacifica for their help. The other group was the folk in Albany, Georgia. Both groups are in economically depressed areas, so our work is not done. I will be visiting all the folks once this summer in order to see how we can continue to support their efforts. Thank you all. Forward, yes. David Beaton, Program Director, WSLR-LP-FM, former affiliate PNB representative, June 30th, 2 days after the construction permit was actually released.
I just have one more. And this is from John Murphy at WHUS in Connecticut. I send my joyous congratulations to Diane and the Port St. Joe crew in Florida. Local and free community radio is more important than ever. It's great to have another member of the radio family. Lou Hill is smiling. Speaking of the radio family, this is a good occasion to add my deep appreciation and gratitude to Ursula for her work with the Florida station and many years of service to affiliates and to our medium. The quality and range of her work to help all of us in our local and national efforts has been part of the of the rock that kept many affiliates together and united with Pacifica during some hard times in the past. As we move through the new challenges with less resources, I know she will continue to keep the faith and do her best for all affiliates. Thank you, Ursula. As GM of WHUS in Connecticut and affiliate for over 30 years, I look forward to renewing our affiliate agreement this year and to better days ahead for Pacifica and Community Radio.
I also have, unfortunately, I overlooked that particular email, so I will send it to you, David Beaton's email, affirming his work in bringing these two stations on board. I will email it to you. The next comment is audio port automation, and this is from Michael D. Brown, who is the president and owner and senior engineer of Brown Broadcast Services, who is an engineer on whom we affiliates, especially low-power FM affiliates, rely heavily. Michael is a very generous, gracious, as well as professional and competent engineer. He is committed to community broadcast, community radio stations, to the point that, as in our case, our funds were so limited that he allowed us to make weekly payments. I call this to Ursula's attention with regard to the station in Albany, Georgia, when I drove her down to talk to Charles Sherrod, his wife, and other members of the group. At the point that they were about to abandon that project, and shared with them my experience with Michael Brown and with Michael Cousins, the attorney who had to do the appeal and revise our application for licensing when we were bumped by a commercial station. Michael says, based on what I have heard at the recent Pacifica affiliates meeting, there is a lot of frustration with the audio port interface regarding its usability for automation. Finishing this project will make it easier for affiliates to integrate your programming into their schedules. With the success of the 2007 filing window, we're seeing the start this year of a major influx of new community radio stations. We work as technical consultants with dozens of new stations every year, most of whom will be carrying your programming. Thank you, Michael Brown. This is dated June 14, 2010, and is, I would add that Michael also works closely with Prometheus Radio Project, which is the premier organization for building, for licensing, applying for licensing, and building radio stations, all of which, along with Pacifica, is a member of Radio for All, which is the basis of the success.
Radio for People.
Thank you. Radio for People, the basis of the success of the 2007 licensees.
There is one more here. It is 4:30. Do you want to read it? It would take about 3 or 4 minutes.
George, can I just make one comment?
It's true.
George?
You all have it.
I think it's important that it's in the record.
Okay. Well, George,
I
have a point of information. Can I?
Who said that?
I did.
Ursula.
You gotta get your mic.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I definitely would like to acknowledge David Beaton. He was hired by me at the time to do this project and laid the groundwork for the 6 of these projects, and I definitely want to acknowledge him as well. As you can imagine, this is a very strange experience, I think maybe for all of us. It's definitely unique for me. And I really, you know, I think we really need to be careful not to create a sense of some sort of competitive event here. Having said that, I do want to make one correction. The contact with Michael Brown, it's not really correct that it came through UFIA. I built Radio for People with Michael Brown and Michael Cousins, and those were longstanding relationships. They just were.
I suggest that we're going now to visit the station, and after that we're going out for dinner. I think there's no real time pressure on that. I'd suggest we extend for 10 minutes perhaps. Some people want to ask questions. Afia wants to read this into the record. Is there any objection to doing that? If there is an objection, we'll take a vote.
Kind of information and question?
Yes. Oh no, we will. Yes, no, I didn't. The technology committee report is the next one. It'll be the first thing on the agenda when we come back in the open session on Sunday.
Okay.
That's right.
It's just that since the beginning of the year, I've yet to get to the top of the agenda to do a report. So I'd actually like to do that if I can, just to some assurance.
And how much time would you need?
3 minutes was all I was asking for.
Can we extend for 15 minutes? 10 minutes for this and 5 minutes for the technology committee report. Is that okay? Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing it, no objection. Afia, go ahead and read that. We'll take questions for whatever time we have left.
The next... piece is actually from the archives of KPFT. KPFT notes, new stations are born. And it was published in November 9th, 2007. From October 12th to October 22nd, 2007, more than 350 local community groups across the country applied to the Federal Communications Commission for licenses to build new community radio stations. They applied when, after much anticipation, the FCC lifted a freeze in effect since 2000 on filings for non-commercial educational radio licenses. The NCE frequencies residing on the left side of the FM dial between 88.1 megahertz and 91.9 megahertz are granted by the federal government to nonprofit organizations free of charge. This is the last free spectrum.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question about relevance to what we are looking at and discussing today, and it seems as though, you know, this is good information. It'll be good for to have available to people, but I think that, you know, there may be important questions raised otherwise, and it doesn't seem to be on point to me in regard to the discussion today, and also the date of several of these things, you know, are kind of. One was from April. I'm just kind of concerned about that. This thing was written the 9th of September, mm-hmm. 2007.
Well, I hadn't read it, relevance. So I'm not really clear what the point of it is.
I'm prepared to respond to the member's query. The first of all is that the comment that was read from April shows how long the discussion, that's April, May, June, and here we are in July. I don't know of any other action that this board has taken other than a bylaws change that has experienced so much review, so much discussion, so much controversy. So it's not as if it just happened, sir. It was a part of a long-standing dialogue that went on not only within Pacifica, but within the affiliate community. The KPFT article or essay to which I'm reading at this point encapsulates and addresses the point that both the affiliates coordinator and myself have spoken to with regard to the development of the two programs, one of which a statement was read by my co-director. So putting that statement into context, this article does that. So it's relevant in that regard in placing that comment into context.
Well, my question is that with the dialogue that you're mentioning that has taken place, I'm surprised that it didn't take place, that an action didn't come from the affiliates task force in regard to what was proposed in April and passed.
Well, I would like to add that the member raised a question about relevance as to subject matter, and as the subject is the resolution passed by this board on April 24, that is the point, and this speaks directly to it, as opposed to the personnel matter that this that others seem to want to reduce this to.
So let me understand. The point of this is that Diane Brown, who actually just got the station, she's apparently the lead person in that in Fort Joe, Florida, is mentioned in this report from 2007 about the establishment of community radio stations in the country. Is that correct?
And who established it? That's correct.
That isn't in dispute, is it? And so I guess I don't understand why this
is important, no, because we work together.
Mr. Chair.
Well, I think it's important to put the statement that Jim read into context.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Point of information.
I have to say I'm confused by this whole discussion. I don't know what the issue is in front of us at this point. What I've heard is we love Ursula. We want an automated audio port, and the archives are great. I don't even know what the question is anymore, folks. I'm completely befuddled by this.
I suggest that we allow Afia to finish reading this, and we use the rest of the time to ask whatever questions we need to ask.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I also think the audience are wondering what the heck we're talking about, too. There may need to be some small explanation, because it seems at one point I'm waiting for somebody to say I match you and raised you too or something.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
If the board is confused, and then I think the audience might be as well.
Can I just say this? The whole format was that we were taking public comment from affiliates. That's what we arranged for this half hour, and I read ones that affiliates asked me to read, and we had one phone call from someone who wasn't an affiliate.
Can we just move on? Let Afia finish reading this, and we'll continue.
Thank you. Actually, I've lost my place, so if you don't mind.
Don't start again.
No. I'm a quick reader.
Recognizing the impact the window is likely to have on the radio landscape, landscape radio, media democracy groups organized nationally in a coalition called Radio for People to promote and help applications for community radio. Their motto was, Be the Media. Groups the coalition helped included community activists, grassroots organizations, indigenous tribes, schools, colleges, progressive religious groups, and already existing community radio stations. Coalition members included the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which I might add has just gotten a grant for over $300,000 to service African American stations, about which Pacifica was not even aware. Although every time this personnel matter arises, black applicants are presented.
Afia, we gave you time to read this.
Key financial and engineering support from public radio capital was made possible by grants provided by Annenberg, Ford, and Sardina Foundations, Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, Otto Haas Charitable Foundation, and Rockefeller Brothers Fund. The FCC opened the recent filing window after establishing new regulations for resolving competition between applicants. The Radio for People Coalition and other media activists had called upon the FCC to establish regulations that give local community groups fairer opportunities for competing with national broadcasters who dominated NCE or non-commercial education applications in the past. According to Michael Brown of Brown Broadcasting, Inc., in the last 15 years, probably 80% of the applications for non-commercial stations have been by conservative religious national broadcast groups. Our emphasis was with the community groups whose main goals were secular progressive programming. Community radio is extremely important, FCC attorney Michael Cousins said. It's a means for getting people the information they need to make judgments about news and public affairs and having entertainment options that aren't provided by giant chains of non-local broadcasters. On the eve of the filing window, community radio advocates gained a victory when the FCC set a limit of 10 applications per group. The commission explained that our examination of the record confirms our concern that failure to establish a limit on the number of NCE FM applications that a party may file in the window would lead to a large number of speculative filings, creating the potential for extraordinary procedural delays. The applications from the recent filing window have not yet been published on the FCC web, but are expected within days. It is being estimated that 4,000 to 5,000 applications were made for the NCE licenses, and an unprecedented volume of information appears to have been submitted to the FCC. Community radio applicants plan to build radio stations for addressing local, cultural, and social needs. We plan to use the radio to benefit ordinary citizens, said applicant Diane Brown in Fort St. Joe, Florida. Now we have a chance to talk about what kind of future we want. Some plan to feature local music and theater and oral histories as well as indigenous languages at tribal stations. Other stated goals include emergency warning systems and relief aid, environmental protection, cooperation between rural communities for farmers' rights, activities for disenfranchised youth, education for civic participation in local politics and policies, and on-air public discourse over policies and laws. We will hear the pulse beat of the people, said applicant and civil rights organizer Charles Sherrod in Albany, Georgia, my longstanding SNCC colleague. The officials say they hear people saying one thing and we hear them saying something else. But with a radio station, people can say it for themselves. Betty Gordon of Iowa City summed up community radio's threat. Now is the time to imagine a citizen's media that monitors and deconstructs, opens the phone lines to listeners, and lets us in the hinterlands chew, swallow, and digest our own information and listen to our own pundits. We are participating in democracy itself and doing what our founding fathers said must be done if democracy is to flourish. Written by KPFT PD, 9 November 2007. It's recognition of those in the community broadcast community and affirming the contribution that everyone makes to making for a healthy community that makes for a cooperative and indeed collaborative relationship. Thank you.
Okay. I don't think we have any time left, do we? No, okay. Let's go on to the technology committee report.
Doesn't do any good to be on the
Oh, I'm sorry. Are there questions for Richard? Had one.
I'm a member of the Affiliates Task Force myself. Richard Uzel from Houston, And I wanted to comment on a couple of things I've heard going by. First off, the there was a dismissive comment made about the task force vote to ask this board to reconsider the motion approved on April 24th. That was the affiliate task force. That were the members as defined by that motion on the 24th that voted that. So I don't think that ought to be dismissively thrown away. They weren't all affiliates, but they met that motion. They were people that were listed on that motion. So I don't think that should be thrown away. I too didn't understand what this was. You know, it got very strange to me. You know, that it was like two sides, and this shouldn't be a prize fight. There were good things said here, and then there were good things said there, and I think somebody else said this. To me, they were all good things about the affiliates program, and I there's tension here that shouldn't be here, and it needs to go away. People need to step up and step back from the tension, and at that same time, let's start stepping forward. And so we got a lot of stepping to do. And right now there's too much animosity, animosity going here. Look, folks, everybody else gets to say something. I'm on the task force. I'm on the board. I get to talk
Richard,
a little bit
finish,
too.
Finish your comments as you like.
I'm getting real tired of the tension. I'm getting real tired of not getting anything accomplished, and I'm getting real tired of not including everybody in the discussion.
Okay.
Because they didn't have time.
George.
Can we move on? Bill?
I think this will be quick, but, you know, we've all seen and heard also from so many of the comments from affiliates who have been so grateful to getting help from Pacifica and from our affiliates coordinator and you know, if you read a written report, there's seven new affiliates just since, I believe, April, is that correct? And seven more on the way. So I'd just like to move that we commend Ursula Rudenberg for all her work in with the affiliates program.
I'd like to amend it.
We're in Robert's Rules Netherland here. I intend to have the technology committee report here. Is it all right if we extend time for no more than 3 minutes, have one comment from Rafia, and take a vote on this? Or an amendment? Is it all right if we extend time for... I'm getting myself deeper,
like
deeper
one
into
one
the
point.
Morass.
extend
time for 5 minutes for this. To actually deal with this motion and whatever amendments are going to come. Is there any objection to extending time for 5 minutes? Hearing none, go ahead. It's in order to make an amendment.
The amendment...
And would you keep the time? Thank you.
The amendment is that that Ursula take the steps necessary to ensure that AudioPort is completed and completion certified by an engineer accustomed to working with community radio stations, preferably Michael Brown, who works with more than half of the stations that go online.
Point of information, Michael Brown is a... Yeah, Michael Brown is a radio... He doesn't do this.
I'm going to...
No, this is a different field.
Is there a second to this? Is there a second to this? There was a second?
He's a radio frequency engineer.
I don't think it's germane. I'm gonna rule it out of order. Is there any? Can we?
I think if we're going to talk about AudioPort, we really do need to bring in Otis, who's done an awful lot of
work. We're not
going to
talk about AudioPort right now.
First of all, AudioPort has been...
Otis, Please, we're not talking about AudioPort. I just ruled that whole thing.
No, excuse me. I will speak, George.
Otis, the floor.
AudioPort is
sorry,
automated.
Not, you
since
don't
April
have the floor,
18th.
Otis. You don't have the floor. We have a technology committee report coming up. Maybe we'll deal with it then. What's on the floor is a motion of commendation for Ursula. We have 2 minutes to go on that. Nia, you'd like to speak.
Yes.
And Kimmery, you'd like to speak? No, go ahead.
I think we should recognize Yvonne Dooley, former director posthumously, for starting the Radio South project. I'm hearing all these names being thrown around, and I didn't hear mention of Yvonne Dooley, so posthumously I would like to recognize
Absolutely.
Him for starting Radio South.
Okay, fine. Okay, can we go to...
I have a Second Amendment.
Okay, we have 1 minute.
And the Second Amendment is that we recognize Ursula Rutenberg and Yvonne Dooley for their work in community radio through Pacifica. Can we have a second?
Is there a second to that?
What was it? That we recognize the both of them. Huh? Recognize the both of them.
Yvonne Dooley posthumously?
No, that we recognize the both of them. It's not a substitute, Campbell.
It's an amendment.
I
think it's germane enough that it's not out of order. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
You don't have the authority to second anything.
I'll second it.
There's a second. All right. Is there any objection to this amendment? Okay. Hearing no objection, the amendment is part now of the motion, which is we've lost our secretary. Bill, would you read the first part of the motion?
That the PNB commends Ursula Rutenberg for her work with the affiliates program.
And the amendment is
and Yvonne Dooley. Right. Could you spell Yvonne Dooley?
That's
okay.
Okay.
So it recognizes both Ursula and Yvonne Dooley for their contributions to the affiliates program. Is there any objection to this motion as amended? Okay. Hearing none, that motion passes. Thank you, Ursula.
Thank you very much.
We are on to the technology committee report, for which we are giving a full 3 minutes.
The clock rolling.
Actually,
okay. First of all, I just wanted to acknowledge those members of the PNB and LSB who were on the technology committee, and I say techies rock because we were able to actually get onto a phone call and talk about things that affect the network without having to get into, for the most part, our personal differences, because technology is really clear. It's separate from emotions. It's about making the systems work. And so I really enjoyed very much the technology committee and chairing that committee, and I wanted to thank everyone who's on it. That being said, we are in progress with several projects, and those projects include a number of issues. We have two or three subcommittees. One of them is to look at internet technology and is working to pull resources from all of the stations and information from all of the stations to put together what's possible to do on the internet, to look at the possibilities of the internet, how to use it for building resources, how to use it to analyze our listenership, and how to use it to convey information both from the stations, but also from the various boards. So that's a a work in progress. Another work in progress is a looking at the whole confessor system and how we can pool our resources to be able to create accessible music. Because part of the difficulty with the reporting is not just that we're reporting what the music might be, where there are limitations in how many pieces of music we can play within a certain period of time. So we were looking at pulling together permissions, releases that we could work system-wide to create our own database of accessible music so that even if a band is playing at KPFA, if they get the right signatures, we can play that music at WBAI. And so we were looking at how to using technology to build some alternative to the confessor system so that we can have free expression of music. And the other project, which I think is really important, was the technology and looking at the what's necessary to facilitate national broadcasts. And we feel that one of the things that would help would be to assemble from the various people throughout the network who have enough some history and technical knowledge on what is the best practices for being able to generate a national program and what technological information is necessary. So, for instance, our satellite comes out of KPFA, but you can generate a program anywhere in the network if you know how to use the technology, if you know how to create a reverse mix of a mix minus of the sound. If you understand, you know, basically what buttons to punch. So what we were talking about is putting together a manual that could be used at any station or any of the affiliates to be able to engage in a national broadcast successfully and to identify those people throughout the network who would be able to assist anyone in doing that. And one of the points that we were making is that it should be accessible enough that if there's a demonstration somewhere in South Carolina and we have an affiliate there, they should be able to get there on the ground, upload sound that we could broadcast nationally so that we can have a much more vibrant accessibility to what's happening in the world and then share that information. So one of our projects is to put together that information so that it would be accessible to everyone in the network. And one of the other things we were talking about was with our technology crew, with Otis and with John, was just basically putting together tutorials for what is available. Because part of the problem I see with the audio port and this is not so much that the technology is there, but the information about the technology is not disseminated to everybody who needs it, and not everybody knows how to use the technology. So part of the committee's work is to put together those tutorials and that information so everyone would have access to it. So that's what we're working on, and I think that those would be very useful projects for the network. Thank you.
I would say, any sense of when either one of those will be ready, the tutorials or the sort of manual?
Not yet. Well, I'm hoping that we'll be able to finish these projects by the end of this session, at least to some degree, and set things up so that the next group can pick up with it. It's difficult. One of the things that makes it difficult for us as a committee to accomplish and to finish something is just that there's so much distraction in terms of the body of work, everyone being on multiple committees and having multiple distractions. So we're having a little difficulty with that, and especially with our technical staff having to cover all these meetings to then be able to put together, work with us on these tutorials. So it's been a challenge, but that is what we're working on.
John, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we have one or two people right now that are writing a manual for AudioPort to make it more accessible, and for the affiliates and for our sister stations, all the programmers within our network, and that's basically being done in the next month. So that's going to be, hopefully we're going to have
that's
something,
excellent.
And that will include the new features.
Excellent.
The
specifics are how to use the automation.
Right. The specifics are how to use the automation.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Any
questions?
Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, that's it.
Can I say something?
Okay.
Kathy, I, if I understand correctly, it sounds like some of you are working on that as well.
Well, we're working on it, and but we're having some difficulty making it cohesive because of all the distractions. But so our objective is to work on it with the staff to pull it together.
We could join forces.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay.
Okay. We are, Bill.
Did Otis get to say whatever he wanted to say earlier about AudioPort? Did anything else you want to add?
I do think that that was the comment that needed to be made. But Otis can speak for himself on that. Otis, do you want to say anything further?
I checked the files. The audio port's been automated since April 28th.
Okay.
Okay. That is the date that we added the automation. And my understanding is that WMNF has been using it since then. In fact, they're driving an entire channel off the automation of audio port. And what I've been hearing for the past, let's see, April 28th, that May, June, July, 3 months, is that it's not automated. But it is. So that's just a fact.
Okay. So by the end of the month, there'll be a manual. Not the
end
of this
month. Because
here's
the thing.
Within a month, there'll be a manual which will make it easy for people to understand how to use it.
I've spoken to two producers who do regular programs about how to post their program so that it comes under the automation. Many people were doing that. There was a kind of a technical thing having to do with how you post. But that's been there. And I've also spoken to like three affiliates having to do with the automation being there. One of them told me how they're using it. The other two, I explained how they could implement it. So, I mean, it is automated. I don't know what else to say. Now, the thing about automation that I have to add is that what we do is automate the availability of a file. How that actually goes into an automation system is a function of the station itself. For instance, at WMNF, Matt wrote some access programs that go into their automation system. There are a number of ways to do that, and how it's actually done depends on the automation system that's being used by that affiliate. And my phone number is there. Ursula's phone number is there. Our emails are there. We're completely available to support people in how to implement it and how it works. And we have a working group to write documentation, which I don't think we ever really had. We did? But we've had some changes now because of the new version of AudioPort that exists. So we're developing that, and that's happening even as we speak. People are working on it so that we can distribute that to everybody who's involved.
Got it.
And that's the situation.
Thank you.
As far as I know.
And thank you.
I'm actually working.
That qualification is critical. As
I'm
far
sorry?
As you, and that qualification is critical.
Which qualification?
As far as you know.
Well, I'm the one who did it.
And I'm the one who's to use it.
Well,
I think we need to end this conversation. Hopefully there'll be sufficient in the manual that anyone can pick it up and use it. We are out of time for this session. We're out of time for the technology report. I would ask, I'm not sure what happens now. Is Tracy here?
No.
Arlene, do you know what's happening now? Where do we go to get transported to the station? She's not here. This session is adjourned. We'll find out as quickly as we can how we get to the station from here.